This is in Daniel, Daniel chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. The new year in church, amen?
Amen.
I sure do hope the Lord comes back this year.
Amen.
And I hope we're ready when he does. And that's kind of what this passage is about today, is readiness. And the title of the message is Passing the Test. But we'll look at that in a little more detail here in just a minute. I had some students came to me last Wednesday night. Report cards go out next Tuesday. And pressure's on. Bella, how'd you do? She doesn't know. I do. She did good. Report cards go out next Tuesday. But those report cards next Tuesday are not for the future. They're for the last quarter that ended in December. And a student said to me, "Oh, Pastor, don't give me a bad grade." You know what? I give them the grade they earned. Amen? The grade they earned. So Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1, is going to appear before the king. And how will he be perceived? What will the king see? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read verses 17 through 21. We'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 17, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all manners of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, I pray that you would just direct our thoughts for these next few moments. Keep us from distraction. Keep us focused on what you have to say to us, and help us to think about and dwell upon and anticipate the fact that we're going to appear before the King of Kings one day. And that king has all authority, and he has the right to judge us, and he has the right to reward us, or, if necessary, to punish us. He has the right to do whatever he chooses. And God, I pray today, help us to see some things here that would make a difference in our life as we prepare to stand before the king. And I pray you'd bless each one here today. Thank you for this good year, this new year you've given us, and for the blessings that we know we're going to experience because of your love, the work you're going to allow us to do, and the results you'll allow us to see because of you. God, help us to strive towards that day when we stand before you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A new baby. Praise the Lord. Oh, I wish I'd have seen that sooner. I'd have shaken hands twice so I could go over there and get a look at that. How's the baby doing? Good, amen. So good to see you. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. Well, I sure like the prophet Daniel, don't you? And just so many good examples in this book. And we're going to look at this one here in Daniel chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. These four Hebrew children have been taken from captivity from the land of Israel. They've been taken to a strange land, and they've been taught a strange language and some new things. And now it's time for them to appear before the king and to be examined. And as we've seen, and we read it in the passage, the examination has a happy ending. They are, in fact, found 10 times better. Does the Bible exaggerate? I don't think so. 10 times better than what the world could produce. I want you to just remember one thing. You and I, as born-again Christians, ought to excel. We ought to be exemplary. We ought to be the best at whatever we choose to do, whatever God gives us to do. I've told you this story too many times of my friend in Utah that went to work. He went to work for the RV store. He worked for a recreational vehicle repair shop, and he didn't know a thing about recreational vehicles. He was a decent mechanic, I think, but he went to work there, and I was doing some programming for the people, some web work, and the manager of the place told me, he said, "That guy Scott that goes to your church, he's amazing. He says he doesn't know a thing about RVs. But anything I tell him to do, he goes and he does it, and he finds out how to do it, and he gets it done." He said, "I wish I had 10 of him." I hope you and I, whatever we do, whether it's go to school, whether it's go to work, whatever it is, I hope people look and they say, "I wish I had 10 more just like him." Amen? Why was he that way? Why was Daniel judged to be, that's the word he uses, 10 times better than the others? Well, the key is right there. If you look in verse 17, God. You see that right there? It says, and these four children, he says, God. God gave them knowledge. Can God change you? Yes. Amen? That's one of the reasons we come to church, is to learn more about the Lord. But church is not the only place we can learn about God. God can teach us through the Word of God every day. Amen. If we'll open it. And he can teach us through what he does in our life every day if we'll walk with him. So this appointment with the king, I could just ask you, do you think they took that seriously? Oh, I think they did. I think it meant everything because they understood the accountability. You know, one of the things that sadly that some Christians aren't doing, they're not taking it seriously that they're going to stand before God one day. The King of Kings. We are. And we're going to give an account of ourselves. The Bible says, I believe it's in Romans, we're going to give an account of everything that we have done. These three, four Hebrew children, and Daniel being amongst them, they have an appointment with the king. And so before that appointment, there was a time of preparation. Let's look at that, if you could, with me. The preparation to appear before the king in verse 17, it says, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, you can see, we've already studied this a little bit before, that the king and his servants had a plan for these Hebrew children. They were going to feed them certain things, and they were going to give them certain things to drink. And Daniel said he had purposed in his heart not to defile himself. And so, just to paraphrase it a little bit, what Daniel said was, let's not do it your way, let's do it God's way. And we've already seen in previous passages that when they said, just give us 10 days, let's do it God's way, and give us some time, and at the end of 10 days, they looked at them, and sure enough, God's way worked. God's way works, doesn't it? Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. And I'll tell you this, one of the reasons that our world is in the situation it's in is because the kind of worker that we need, the godly kind of worker, is becoming more and more and more rare. That person that is honest, that person that is responsible, that person that takes commitments seriously, that person that believes that it's important to be on time, because you don't just represent yourself, you represent God. If I show up late to a job, and I've already told the people I'm working for, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God. So if I show up late, it reflects on the Lord. I'm going to be on time. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to pray and ask God to direct me and guide me and give me strength because I represent him. Daniel and his friends, they said, Daniel especially said, no, we're not going to do it the world's way. We're going to do it God's way. And in the earlier message, we saw that when they examined them, sure enough, they looked better than the others. There was a difference. And folks, people ought to see a difference in us because we're Christians. Amen? They should see something different about us. We should be exemplary. So God gave them knowledge. I got to ask the question, are you learning at the Lord's feet? Is the Lord giving you knowledge? What did you learn last year that God taught you? I'm going to be going to Maryland in February. Their 55th anniversary of the church is February the 13th, which is the second Sunday in February. And we're going to have a guest speaker here that day while I'm gone. I've been thinking about what messages to preach when I'm there. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be exciting if I could say to those folks out there that since I've been in Arizona, God's taught me some things. And now I can show you what those are. Amen? That's what we do when we teach. God taught us, and then we let God use us to teach other people. They were preparing because there was a day when they were going to stand before the king. And folks, right now, these days, these months and weeks and years, if God gives us more years, but this period of time between now and when you step into eternity is your time of preparation to stand before the king. We need to take that seriously. Amen. God can teach us if we will let him. God can guide us if we will follow him. And then look at the end of the verse. It's kind of interesting. Daniel was a little bit unique. It says Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. That came in handy later on, didn't it? Do you remember? Much later on, when Daniel was, I want to say, in his 70s or 80s perhaps, there was a day when the king saw some writing on the wall. There are some times in this passage where some people have some dreams. And Daniel's the one that can understand what they mean. Now, let's just make this real practical. Do you understand this book? Do you? Can you open this book, this Bible, and can you show people things in it that God has shown you? Amen? Amen? And doesn't the fact that this Bible says certain things to you change the way you live? Folks, this book is a vision, if you will. It's a revelation is the word we will use. There's revelation in this book, things that God has taught us. You see, that's the key there in verse 17. It says he had understanding, but God gave that to him. I don't know if you take it for granted or not. When you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit can show you what it means. That's amazing. I've told you the story, perhaps, but I had a fellow that got saved in Utah, and after he got saved, he would ask me a question, and I'd quote him a verse. And he was excited because the verse meant something to him that he hadn't seen before he got saved, because when you get saved and the Holy Spirit lives in you, now you understand the Bible better. And the Bible becomes a completely different book to a person after they're saved. So there was a time of preparation. There was a time when they had the opportunity to grow, to learn, to prepare, because there was a day set when they were going to stand before the king. Now, let's keep reading in verse 18. It says, "Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in," let's stop right there. Every one of us has an end of days. We've seen some folks just in the last few years come to the last day of their life. God establishes that, doesn't he? I don't know when it is. I hope, I could say this in my flesh, I guess. I hope at the end of this year that every one of us is still walking on the face of this earth, that every one of us in this room today at the end of this year would step up and say, "Praise God, he was so good to me in 2022. I'm looking forward to 2023. But it could be at the end of this year, some of us will be in eternity. It's happened every year before, just about. There's some folks that were with us. Brother Leo, I saw Joe Milsek's birthday came along in December. There's some folks that they were with us and the end of their days came. I don't know when the end of days is for any of us, but I know we all have one. And sometimes we make the mistake of saying, "Oh, that's a long ways off. I've got plenty of time to prepare." Isn't it funny how we do that? High school Bible class, final exams coming up. But the day before the test, students say, "Oh, I guess I better start studying. The test is tomorrow." Probably should have been studying before that, amen? In fact, you should be preparing right now because you don't know when the end of days is for you. But we've all got one. Everybody has one. Folks that are not here today for whatever reason, they've got one too. That's one of the reasons I think it's important to be faithful to God, because I want to be found faithful when my end of days comes, amen? So he says, the end of the days there in verse 18 came. The prince of the eunuchs brought them in before King Nebuchadnezzar, before Nebuchadnezzar. This man is the king of, at that time, the greatest empire in the world. He's got power of life and death. He can look at someone and say, kill that one. And there's no question about it. They take him out and kill him. He can look at that one and say, bless that one and give him great riches. And there's no question about it. They give that person great riches. He has absolute authority. Kind of be nerve-wracking to stand before a man like that, wouldn't it? Wonder what he's going to say about me. Wonder if he's going to be pleased with me. When you stand before that king and he sits there on his throne and he looks down at you, I wonder if I'm ready. But then it's too late, isn't it? The days of preparation will come to an end, and now there's the day of presentation, and you're standing before the king, and now there's nothing you can do. There's going to be an examination, but you can't go back and change things. Now, you can probably picture in your mind how intimidating it would be to stand before Nebuchadnezzar. Let me remind you of something. This man is nothing compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this man here, he's the ruler of some kingdoms. The Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of kingdoms. This man right here, he's got power over a lot of people. The Lord Jesus Christ has power over all humanity. This man right here got his power from God. The Lord Jesus Christ did too, but all this man did was maybe win some battles or have a right position at the right time. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when you stand before him, you're standing before your Savior. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. What should he be able to expect of you and I if he died for us? You see, he was willing to give everything for us. His judgment is not a selfish judgment. His judgment is that he came and he died on the cross to pay for your sins. And he saved you from eternity in hell. And now you stand before him and the question is, having received that salvation, what did you do with it? What did you do for him after all he did for you? It's a judgment which is much more serious than even what Nebuchadnezzar could do. What does he deserve? What does Jesus deserve from you and I? The Bible tells us, the Bible says, you are not your own, you're bought with a price. You know, you could say in a sense that Daniel and his friends were subjects of Nebuchadnezzar. But folks, you and I are the possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bought us with his own blood. It's going to be a judgment day that's not going to be like any other. That day of presentation, when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, this presentation before Nebuchadnezzar is going to pale in comparison to that. We're going to stand before our, not just our King, but the King of Kings. Not just a Savior, but our Savior. Not just anybody, but our Creator. And I don't know how to make it any more important to you. God needs to do that for me, if he will. But you need to understand, you're going to stand before him one day. And the end of days is going to come, and you're going to stand before him. That presentation will take place. Now, look at the perception. That's the last word I'm going to use here, and begin in verse 19. Now, remember, they're standing before the king. In verse 19, please, the Bible says, the king communed with them. And I'll just stop right there for a minute and remind you of something. This king, you've had conversations with people. I have, Mr. Mendez has. We have new students that come to our school, perhaps, and we interview them, we meet their parents, and we get to know them a little bit. And after you've been around a while, you know what I'm talking about. You can sit down and talk to somebody, and pretty quick you can understand what's important to them, whether or not they love the Lord, whether or not they're saved is usually pretty easy to tell, for the most part. What they find valuable in life, whether they're even honest, you can tell that sometimes. You can tell a lot about people just by talking to them. And this king, as he communes with them, you know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, what you say tells us who you are. And what you love and what you don't love and whether you love God or whether you love something else more. What we do demonstrates that as well. This king communed with them. Our king knows us absolutely, every single detail about us before we ever come into his presence. So that in verse 18 it says among them, all, the word being all of them, but it all was found, and there were none like them. Let's just go back to that word found again and think about that for a minute. When you stand before the Lord, can you think of anything he won't know? Nothing. Any deed that you've done that he won't be aware of? No. Any thought that you've had that he didn't know of? No. He knows more about you than you know about you. That comes in handy, by the way. He knows more about how to give you a good life than you do. He knows more about how to shape you and change you and make you what you need to be than you do. And he's doing that. And you got two choices. You can cooperate and see him do great things, or you can be like, remember the Apostle Paul when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus? And he made a funny statement. If you don't understand a little bit about farming this or agriculture, this might go over your head. But he said, Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And what he's talking about is that they would take a pointed stick or a pointed instrument and they would poke an animal to try to get him to go the way he wanted to go. Now, if the animal's going the right way, there's no need to poke him. But if the animal's going the wrong way, they'd poke him and try to get him to go the right way. And God says, I've been poking you, Paul, and instead of going the right way, you're kicking back. You're wanting to go your own way and you're fighting against me. But folks, that's not just Paul that was guilty of that. You and I can do that sometime. God knows how to change you, and it'll happen a whole lot more quickly, and it'll be a whole lot more pleasant if you'll just obey him instead of kicking back against what he wants. And then I'll remind you at some point in time, God did not create a robot. If you keep fighting against him, for example, God did not come to your house today and pick you up and put you in your car and start the motor and drive you to church. You had to do that. Or if you rode to church, whatever, but you had to make some effort. And God expects us to live a certain way because we're going to be standing before him one day and be judged by him. Now, it says among them, now look at this whole statement again in verse 19. It says, the king communed with them, and among them all, talking about these four young men, was found none like unto Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. In other words, there was nobody else that could compare to these four. Now, when you and I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know this is not necessarily a judgment of who's the best and who's the worst, but that is a fact. I was reading about some fellow and he came out. Well, that's the joke is, do you realize that somewhere in this world there's the doctor that was the last in his class and he's practicing medicine? He was, when they ranked all the doctors in his college, he was at the bottom, and he's practicing medicine somewhere. Hope I don't have that guy for the doctor, right? It's a bad illustration, but the point is made. When I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you do, do you want to be the worst? Or would you like to be one of the better ones? Amen? Now, how would you get that? It goes back to the preparation we talked about. But it's too late now. And he's evaluating a whole lot of young men. And these four young men, and here's the key, God gave them knowledge. The ones that God prepared, the ones that cooperated and did it God's way, they were the best. It's not enough just to be there. You'd like to be judged well. Amen? I'd like to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, rather than thou wicked and slothful servant. They're both servants, but there's a different kind. How is our service going to be? Well, when the presentation comes, there's going to be a finding. There's going to be a finding as to what they are. It says in verse 20, in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, He found them 10 times better. He found them. He knows there's going to be a day when there'll be no secret. How did you spend your time? How did you expend your efforts? How did you spend your money? How did you spend the opportunities that God gave you? Amen? It's going to be found out. That presentation will take place. And look at the rest of it. It says he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, astrologers that were in all his realm. And then look at verse 21. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Now, we're going to learn a lot more about Daniel in the days ahead. But one of the things we know about Daniel is this. He became a ruler. He became an authority. He became a person of importance in this kingdom. And folks, in eternity, there are rewards. The Bible talks about this. He says to some folks in Judgment Day, he says, you've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. You're preparing for that day of presentation when the perception is going to determine what your reward is. You know, there are some people that have made fabulous amounts of money in this world, and we talk about this in high school Bible class, and we fuss over who's the richest man in the world this week. Is it Bezos, or is it Gates, or is it somebody else? I don't know how many billion dollars Mr. Bezos or Mr. Gates have. I'm sorry to say I have a good idea that they're not Christians. And let's just, for the sake of argument, say that they're not Christians. The Bible says, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and loses his own soul? And what can a man give in exchange for his soul, the Bible says. So when you step into eternity, the judgment is not going to be based on your bank account. It's not going to be based upon the size of your possessions or the things that you had in this world. That's a different judgment. The judgment that we're going to have is going to be based upon how God finds us in relation to what he finds important. Some people find money important. God finds souls important. The fact is, I just gave you the economy of heaven says this. One soul, that's more valuable than the whole world. If you had, what does it profit him if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? One soul is more valuable than the whole world. If you spent 2022 and you didn't make a penny, and at the end of 2022, your net worth was no higher than it is now. Maybe it was much lower. And if you spent your whole year and worked and saw one soul get saved, you're wealthier in eternity than all the Bezos and Gates and anybody else you can name. Because in God's economy, souls are what matters. Say, Pastor, I'd like to be rich. Go win a soul to Christ. Amen? Because you see, when you step into eternity, the economy there is all different than it is here. And this little glimpse we get of Daniel, he continued, he became a ruler, and he stayed in that position. And we're going to learn more about him as time goes on, but what you're going to find is this. When the question occurs to Daniel, should I obey God or should I obey man? He obeys God. When the question occurs, should I please God or should I please man? He pleases God. When the question occurs, should I put God first or should I put something else first? He puts God first. And that's why he's such an extraordinary character in the Bible. He continued until King Cyrus, and we'll talk about him another time, but he's got some importance in the Bible as well. Are you ready? I don't think we're ready yet, because if we were ready, God would take us home. So it must be that this year continues to be a year of preparation. And like I said, I hope every one of us gets the entire year to prepare. I'd a lot rather do a wedding than a funeral in 2022. I'd a lot rather do a baptism than have to do a graveside service. I'd a lot rather see some folks here come to Wednesday night and give a testimony about seeing a soul saved. This is a time of preparation. That's what we're in right now. I don't know when it's going to be, but there will be a day of presentation. And then there's going to be a perception. And how is the Lord going to perceive you? Now, the very first question I would ask, and I think I know everybody here, so I'm going to make an assumption, but I'll just say what that assumption is. I believe with all my heart, I know for a fact, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're a born-again Christian. Amen? What does that mean? Born again. You have life in Christ. You were dead in trespasses and sins, and now you're alive in Christ. You see, if you weren't, you wouldn't even stand before the King in this judgment. You'll stand before a different judgment and be cast into hell. Because the Bible says in the Revelation, and we're going to look at that in more detail here in high school Bible this spring. I'm looking forward to that. But at the end of the Revelation, it says, whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into a lake of fire. That's a judgment that God died on the cross to save us from. And if you've trusted Him as your Savior, that judgment is no longer to be feared. But that doesn't mean you won't be judged. Every man according to what his works are going to be, not for heaven or hell, but for reward or loss. As we continue in Daniel, what you're going to see is this. Because of the perception of the king, Daniel had a promotion. We'll use that as our last letter P there. There's a promotion. But not for everybody. Just for those that were found to be what they ought to be. Folks, it's real. I'm not making this up. You read it in the Bible. But the thing about it is, sometimes the devil seems to have a way of getting to take our mind off of that. That what I'm doing now is going to affect my eternity. What I'm doing now is preparing for the presentation when the perception will determine whether or not I receive the promotion. It's an important time, isn't it? 2022, a year of preparation. Preparation for what? Preparation for eternity. Preparing some lost souls so they won't face that lake of fire. Preparing some saved souls so that they'll receive a better perception one day and a better promotion. And folks, that's a job all of us have. Amen? Let's get busy. We've got a year of work ahead of us. Let's all stand and pray.